Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the opportunity to meet in this place and be able to hear your word and come together and have fellowship one with another and enjoy our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're our teacher. You lead us and guide us into all truth. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And we know that if we're going to walk in light and have brightness and understanding in our lives, then we need to follow the pattern of your word. We need to obey your word. Lord, transform our minds as you promised you would in Romans, Lord, as you promised you would by the Holy Spirit. As we read this word, let it change our thinking. Let it transform the way we think. We take authority over strongholds of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, thoughts that are not of you, and we just cast them down in Jesus' name. Lord, we choose to submit to your word. Holy Spirit, teach us, show us your truth, bring us into a greater understanding of you. And Father, I know that as we go to your word, faith comes by hearing, and faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So we thank you that faith will come, that utterance will come, that boldness will be here, and that out of that, as we respond, Lord, we will have victory in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. All right, so we've looked at a couple of things. I'm just going to review, but Psalms 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. These are some of the things we've said about this verse, but the Word of God is a quenchless light. The advancing intelligence of humanity will never supersede its necessity or dim its luster. Now, I heard this said the other day. I was watching a guy share about the Bible and things like that, and he made the statement that because as we continue to go forward in the planet, and intelligence or understanding or knowledge about this planet and the earth and humanity and things like that, as science advances and they see more and more into how the mind works and what is the makeup of the earth and all those things, they have this tendency to get arrogant and believe that there is no God. That somehow because they look into a microscope and they see and can break down the DNA and the chromosomes of something and they understand the pattern of how it's connected together, that they somehow now have knowledge that they understand that it just came from nothing. All this organization just came from nothing. And that now we don't need a God because we have this understanding or this wisdom. What people don't realize is that all those that take on that mentality, all that stuff that they're learning and studying is either evidence for them or evidence against them on the day of judgment. You realize that? In other words, God's not like in heaven going, man, these people are getting smart. I wonder what we can do to make sure that I'm still ahead when judgment day comes. No, God's already got the end figured out. And this minister made this statement. He said, how long have you been on the planet? Because God's been here from before it was created. So do we need to be afraid that, you know, Newsweek magazine or Time magazine puts on the cover of their magazine, God's dead? Were you kidding? God's in heaven laughing, going, I'm dead, apparently. Well, how do you know? Newsweek said so. He's not moved by any of it, and we shouldn't be either. Okay? We shouldn't be either. We're not nervous about that. Well, yeah, they can pass all the laws they want to pass. They can outlaw the Ten Commandments and all those things. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. Like in our Bible reading this week, Paul said this, the Word of God is not chained. What does that mean? That means you can put me in jail, but the Word of God will still go on. You may be able to gag me, but you can't gag God. The scripture says in Psalms chapter 19 that every day is this, let's look at it. How about? Because I'm not remembering it right now. Let's look at it. Psalms chapter 19. It says this in verse number 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, which is just around the earth, shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech. Verse 2, it says, day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the earth. You say, what does that have to do with anything? Read Romans chapter 1. You'll find that God says, look, there's nobody on the planet that will have an excuse and be able to say, I did not know there was a God. Because the Bible says that from day to day utters this speech that comes forth that says, God says, I'm here and I love you. I'm here and I love you. Do you know how many times they've tried to discredit the Bible scientifically, archaeologically, linguistically, in other words, through language, all these different areas, and they've never been able to do it? Do you know that one of the most accurate books for history is this? I mean, they mark it through the timeline of history and the amount of knowledge that we do have, which, by the way, is very limited, but the amount of knowledge that we do have about past and cultures and things like that. Here the Bible shows up over and over and over again. Isn't that interesting? And it confirms that this is right. So it's kind of interesting to me because the Lord is not nervous. He knows what he's doing. So I don't know about you, but this is the way I am. If I want to understand something, I like being around somebody who knows more about it than I do. Why? Well, because one, I don't want to be full of pride. Okay? You ever met the person that you can't teach them anything? They already know everything. And what do we know about them? They know nothing. Ultimately. Why? Because if you're not teachable, then you're in trouble. Now, if you're not teachable by God, you're really in trouble. Okay? I work with a gentleman, and he's a subcontractor, but I'm his boss because he comes in and works under us. But he's got painting experience way beyond me. Way beyond me. So I don't just go around not letting him tell me about what we should do in situations. I let him tell me. Yeah, but you're his boss. I know, but he knows more than me. And you know, no matter how hard I try, I cannot get older than him. I just can't do it. I cannot do it. He's always going to be 15 years older than me. I can't beat him. You know what I mean? I can't out-experience him. Well, the same is true when it comes to the Lord. We cannot out-experience him. It's impossible. He is the all-knowing. So this series that we're talking about in regards to the path of light is exactly, it's that type of thought. Listen, your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my, it's a light to my path. In other words, as I follow the principles that are in this and I let them guide and lead my life, this is the place of greatest joy. This is the place of greatest fulfillment. This is the place of greatest peace. This is the place in here, in this word, where marriages work. Yeah, they work right here. You say, well, how? Go in and look up marriage. I mean, we'll eventually do something along those lines, but don't wait for us to go. Go look. You know what I mean? And we'll add to when we get to that point. But this is where finances succeed. This is where bodies are healed. The answer, the light is here. This is where minds are at rest. This is where businesses flourish. Do you see what I'm saying? There's light here, and it will lead you down the path that you're supposed to go. And people say, well, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with my life. Well, first do what you read in here, and the rest will come into place like it should. You need to first learn how to hear God here. Then eventually you'll learn how to hear him in here. And in here, we'll never disagree with this. You see that? You know, because we have a lot of people today, they want to take scriptures and rip them out of the Bible. You know, like the little girl that was leaving church and the pastor was shaking hands and the little girl was walking out and he looked down and he thought, man, that Bible's been beat up, you know. And he reached down and he said, sweetie, what happened to your Bible? And he opened it up. I mean, there were whole chunks of pages ripped out of the Bible. And she said, well, you've been teaching on all these different things, you know, at church. And every time you say, well, that's not for us today, I just ripped that out. Kids are a little more wise than some of these things. Well, what's the point if it's not for today? But everything in this is for today. Okay? Now, there are principles. Obviously, there are things that have changed. You notice we don't slaughter cows. Okay? We don't kill birds. We don't bring in grain offerings and stuff. Although I have thought about killing those birds. I'm not going to lie. I was told that they would be gone, but they're not gone yet. So there may need to be a special operations one night. Faith Family Special Ops. We're going to move a bird nest in the middle of the night. I got to get back to my train of thought. Everything in here is for today in essence. In other words, truth is here. You know, we don't follow the Ten Commandments. In other words, we don't live under the law. But you know, the law is written on your heart now. We're not living under law. We're actually in a place of greater responsibility than they ever were under the law. You say, why do you say that? Because God's not just on a piece of stone. He's in your heart. Okay? So they can take the Ten Commandments out of, you know, courthouses and stuff like that. Okay, but so where does the moral rule, where does the level sit? Where's the balance? Who decides what's right and wrong if God does it? Where does it ever end? Something to think about, right? Who decides how to do it right if God doesn't? We're just going to come up with it on our own? Because currently in the culture, it's just whatever you feel. How many have felt like running over someone? Don't lie. You're in church. Okay, so how do we know that's wrong? If it's just whatever we come up with or whatever we decide we feel, do you see where this ends? In total chaos. But if we follow the Word of God and the standard of the Word, that's why you are good parents and you're training your kids that they don't just act on what they feel. No, no, no. They don't just get to act how they feel. I don't let my kids just act how they feel. You know, yesterday we're setting up, and my kids are carrying stuff up and down the stairs. And the things that they're carrying are not so heavy that they can't move quickly. But then you got adults behind them with stacks of chairs on their shoulder. You know what I mean? That's heavy. And after a while, you can get a bruise right here. Okay? And so you want to get to where you're going as quickly as possible. Now, I'm not being unreasonable with them, but I look down at my son and he's just kind of, meh. You know, and here's somebody behind him with chairs on his shoulder. I'm like, buddy, you got to move. There's people behind you. You know. Well, you can either feel like doing it or I'll help you feel like doing it. And they know what that means. And what do they do? Okay, I feel like moving, you know. What am I teaching them? Why, discipline. Why am I teaching them that? Because they need to know, listen, you don't have to act how you feel. Yeah. Well, if you just think it, it's so. No, no. There are a lot of thoughts that you shouldn't just allow in your head. You know what I mean? And this word, these scriptures, these truths are what help us follow the path of light. They garrison, they guard our mind. We get them in our mouths. They help us make the decisions that we're supposed to make. What you have to decide as an individual is, are you going to submit to this or not? If you're going to submit to the Word of God, then you're going to have the blessing of the Lord, because the Lord will bless what He said. He's not going to just bless anything you want to do. He's going to bless what He said He would do. Amen? Okay, so Psalms 119 verse 105, we read that. We also looked, I believe, at Psalms 119, 130. We talked about that. Whoops, I went to Psalms 130. Psalms 119 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. So God is giving us understanding. We made this statement that when the Bible makes sense, don't go looking for any other sense or you will end up with nonsense. We talked about that. This is a belief that we have. We believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, the product of holy men of old who spoke and wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The new covenant, as recorded in the New Testament, we accept as our infallible guide in matters pertaining to conduct and doctrine. So let's take a look this morning. And we looked at several different things, and you can go back and look over those. The last scripture that we looked over was in John chapter 8, and it was verse 34 through 51, talking about how the Lord said, there's no room for your word in my life. We want to make room for God's word in our heart. Amen? All right. So, this morning, I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And if you want to put a title on this, will put receive the word of God as the word of God, not as the word of men. And you'll see this here in this verse. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm holding out on you because I don't want you to get there before me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. All right. Says this. So we're talking about receiving the word of God as the word of God. Okay? Now, God used men to write the Bible. But that does not mean that the Bible is out of the motivation of a man. In other words, God, by the Holy Spirit, flowed through a man. Does that make sense? How many have a water hose at home? Is the source of water coming from the hose? I'm talking about from the hose. The source of water, the water comes what? Comes through the hose, okay? So the source of the Bible is God. The avenue that it came through to the earth is man. Does that make sense? Okay, so these men were anointed by God to write these words, and then it was put together over time as what we see as the Bible. You know, originally the Bible was not written in chapter and verse. It was just letters. You say, why did they add chapter and verse? Well, they added chapter and verse so that we would be able to reference it. So it gives you an address, you know what I mean? It helps to have an address if you're going to go find a house, right? Well, they use the same principle here. But it's something to be aware of. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 in a book may go right together, if you've noticed. And so you don't necessarily have to, you know, it's just for basically for finding the address, okay? So don't get too hung up on the chapter and verse as far as that's concerned. It's just so you know where it is. All right, so 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says this, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because you received the word of God which you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth," what? "The word of God, which also effectively works in you who," what? What if you don't believe? It doesn't effectively work in you. Now, we talk about the word of God and the Holy Spirit being powerful, and they are. But it only works for those who cooperate and believe. People say, well, that's hard. No, faith comes by hearing. You don't have to work up the power. You just have to be open. You know, when people say, well, I really felt God powerfully today, or I didn't feel anything. His power level didn't change. It was just your sensitivity. Right? You know where people say, well, I felt God. It was like electricity. God's not electricity. He's not just like up there, you know. Yeah. You know, static all the time. Don't touch God, man. He'll shock you. No, he's all powerful. What you felt was your body's response to his power. Does that make sense? You ever seen somebody that got shocked by an electrical outlet or something? And they shake, you know? Why were they shaking? Because electricity shakes? No. It's just, that's how they responded to the power that was available. Okay? Does that make sense? So some people go, well, why do people cry during worship? They're responding. Well, how come some people laugh? They're responding. It's just how they respond. You say, why do you bring that up? Because I don't want us to be overly excited about what we see people do. We're just glad that God's moving. You know what I mean? We're just glad that they're open and they're responding to that, you know, and to God's power. Because it isn't just what we see in that, but it's faith in God and then God moving in that area. And so the word of God effectively works for those who believe. And these people received the word of God not as the word of men, but as the word of God. They appreciated the word, okay? They did not receive it as the word of men. They received it as the word of God. We must never treat the Bible as any other book. The Bible is different in origin, character, content, and cost, okay? The Bible is different in all those areas. The Bible is the Word of God that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You just turn to your right. You'll hit first and then you'll hit 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 16 says this: all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, or the Christian, we could say, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Okay? One translation of that, and I'll read it out of the New King James, but it says this. Let me find it here real quick. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration. Okay? Now, the NIV, which is what I just read, translates it God-breathed, but the word inspiration means God-breathed. What it is the supernatural influence of the Holy Spirit on the Bible's writers. All scripture was given by supernatural influence to the writers of the Bible. And I will add this, there are no new chapters being written today. Okay? We have to add that because, you know, every once in a while you have somebody come up, oh yeah, I got a new book of the Bible. No, you didn't. No, Revelation was it. That was the end of it. In fact, if you read in the Bible, Paul says it, and so does John in Revelation, but he said, if anybody adds to this book, basically hell is coming for you. That's what it says, okay? So be aware of that. If you think you got a revelation in that, you didn't. All right. Everybody's like, it wasn't for me. Yeah, but we have people listen from all over. So it may be for them, okay? All right, so the Holy Spirit influenced them to write, which, listen to this, which guaranteed that what they wrote was accurate and trustworthy. It was accurate and trustworthy, okay? All right, so whatever the Bible says about itself, about man, now you got to listen to this closely, God, life, death, history, science, you said science is in there? Oh yeah, it's in there. And every other subject is true. Now listen closely. This does not mean that every statement in the Bible is true, because the Bible records the lies of men and of Satan. Okay? Does that make sense? But the record is true. It doesn't mean everything's a statement of truth. In other words, Satan's lies are recorded in here. Other men's, I mean, how many know that Judas lied on Jesus, right? And betrayed him. Was that God doing that? No, it wasn't. That was the enemy working through Judas to kill Jesus. Okay? But it's stated true. In other words, the record of it is true. Now, statements of truth are like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. That is a statement of truth, and it's recorded true. Now, there are statements that are lies, but they're recorded correctly. Okay? In other words, okay, I better rephrase that. There are statements of people's lies, but they're recorded correctly. How many have ever read about Jezebel in the Old Testament? Okay? And Ahab and some of the stuff that they did with Elijah. All these different people through the years that have done deceptive things. They were not motivated by God, but the record is accurate. And it just shows us what not to do instead of what to do. Okay? So, the scriptures are, it talks about this in verse 16. The second part, they are profitable, okay? They're profitable. They are profitable for doctrine, and you could even put this, in other words, what is right, for reproof, what is not right, for correction, how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. Okay? So let me say it again. They are profitable for doctrine, which is what is right, for reproof, which is like rebuke. In other words, what is not right. In other words, don't do this. For correction, how to get right. And for instruction in righteousness, which is how to stay right. So let me read it to you in a couple other translations. In the basic English Bible, it says this: every holy writing which comes from God is of profit for teaching, for training, for guiding, for education in righteousness. The Living Bible says it this way: the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God, and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us do what is right. Do you know you don't always feel like doing what is right, but you can always choose to do it? You can choose to do it. I just choose to do what's right. You say, well, I chose to do what's wrong last week. Repent and choose to do what's right. It's that simple. We make it difficult, but it's that simple. People say, well, I just can't control myself. That's a lie. You can control yourself. You can. Now, you may be used to not controlling yourself in an area, but that's just because you've developed a bad habit. But by the grace of God, you can change any habit. It's possible. Because why? All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him who believes. The first thing you need to do is say, God, I don't know how we're going to do this, but you're going to help me change. And then from there, he'll help you change. Amen? People say, well, you know, these men in the Bible were so perfect. No, they weren't. You read about Paul. What did Paul say? Forgetting the things that are behind and pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Which means what? Which means he did things he wished he wouldn't have. But he's got to forget about it and move forward. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? So, let me read this to you in one other translation here. It says this. All scripture is given by God and is useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults. How many want to be corrected? I want to be corrected. And for teaching how to live right. Listen to this. Using the scriptures, the person who serves God will be capable, having all that is needed to do every good work. I like that. Using the scriptures. This is the New Century Version, but it says, using the scriptures, the person who serves God will be capable, having all that is needed to do every good work. Every good work. Okay? So what have we looked at so far? I'm just got to close that. Messed up my tablet here real quick. What have we looked at so far? So we've looked at receive the word of God as the word of God and not the word of men. Okay? Secondly, and we talked about 2 points in that, which was 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and then 2 Timothy 3:16. Now I want to bring this thought to you. It was written by men of God who were used by the Holy Spirit. So let's go to 2 Peter. Now we've touched on this, but I want to show you the scripture on it. So again, head right in your Bible. And you'll just after James, you'll run into 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 20. You realize as a pastor, and it doesn't matter who's standing up here, but at different times, it's not that I take on different personalities, it's just that there's different things that God wants to accomplish. And so sometimes it's just teaching. You know what I mean? And teaching can be boring if you let it. Okay? We're trying to not let it be, but it can be, okay? It can be difficult to sit through it. But some of the greatest victories that you'll have in your life will come out of you just hearing what the truth is and you doing it yourself. Because a lot of times we get this idea, I went to church, I did something. Well, you did the first step. Applying it to your day-to-day life is what will make you real strong. You'll have real strength. And you know what's really nice about that? I don't know about you, but I like it that my parents don't tell me what to do all day. You know what I mean by that? I like it that I don't need to go, Mom, I'm hungry. How many know if I'm 38 and still doing that? Something's wrong, right? Mom, I hear this all day because Heidi, Mom, the kids are, you know, I need this. They're getting older now, so they're doing more on their own. But some of them still have the mentality, I can't do this when it's totally within their ability, you know? But they just don't want to do it. But as you grow spiritually, you develop to where you're not depending as much on other people. Now, it takes time. It takes a lot of time. But you can grow to where you're not always waiting for somebody else to build you up. You're looking for someone else to build up. And that's what I'm after. You know what I mean? I don't want to just stay spiritually weak. I want to be developed to the point where I can hold my family and me up and hold other people up at the same time. You know? The enemy's not going to take me out to where we grow and develop to where we have more and more influence for the kingdom of God. And so teaching is that way. But, you know, sometimes you're in a service and it's exciting and, whoa, God moved and it was awesome. And, man, you should have been there. But then the greater victories that I've experienced in my life were when nobody knew about it and I just did the right thing. You know what I mean? I just did the right thing because I had grown to that point. So those are the greater victories. So keep that in mind as we're teaching along here. Don't be sidetracked by your mind or your body going, I'm tired or whatever. I'm hungry. Mostly it's I'm hungry. 2 Peter chapter 1, okay, verse number 20. This is another scripture that proves our point here. It says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? No prophecy of Scripture was given by a man's private interpretation. It was given by men, but they were moved on by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? They were moved on by the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the Holy Spirit said, Paul, I want you to write this down. Now, Paul got a lot of his writing done in prison. I'm thankful for what he went through to get us the Bible. You know what I mean? And the other apostles as well. And the men of God that have written through the years, as far as the Bible is concerned. They suffered for what they had to do, but they got the Bible to us, and they were moved on by what? By the Holy Spirit, not by their own. They didn't just come up with. You imagine how well this book flows together? And some of the authors were how many years apart from each other? Hundreds and maybe even thousands of years apart from Moses all the way to John in the book of Revelation. And yet the whole thing flows together. How could that be? Because really there was only one author, just a whole bunch of secretaries. The Holy Spirit. They've never been able to disprove the Bible. They'll never be able to. They'll never be able to. Only liars disprove it. Because they refuse to look at it. And don't be mistaken by this either. Don't be mistaken by people saying, well, I just don't see how God could be real. I don't believe in a God because if he was real, then this, that, or the other, he wouldn't allow this to happen. He wouldn't allow that to happen. Don't get into arguments about stuff like that with people. Because they just want to go back and forth and back and forth. You know what the real issue is? They don't want to submit in their heart. They don't want to believe in a God. There are some people that are inquisitive, and then there are some people that are just flat hard. And don't be fooled by the fact that people are like, well, there's a God? Jesus is alive? There's a Jesus? What's Jesus? Now, there are people like that, but how many ministries are all over the world? How much of the Bible is all over the world? What's going on right now is not just people going, well, I don't know if that's really true or not. We've scientifically proven. You haven't proven anything, okay? It'll change in a little bit. Give it another 10 years. Global warming will be global cooling. Oh, yeah, it will. Something will change. Why? Because man's only been around this long. God's been around this long. He knows what he's doing. He knows how it's all going to work. We're okay. Do you know we're not going to run out of oil? It's all right. Just relax. You say, well, why do they keep talking that way? They want to raise the prices. They do. What do you think? It's driven by money. Everything is driven by the love of money, okay? It is. You say, what are we going to do? God's our source. We'll make it. We'll be just fine. We'll be just fine. We'll have more than enough. God will put us in the right place at the right time, amen? So don't worry about that. But all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was given as the Holy Spirit moved on men of old who wrote it down, all right? Let me read this to you. The word translated private, because it said no private interpretation, okay, it talks about that. It said the word translated private simply means one's own or its own. The suggestion is, since all Scripture is inspired by the Spirit, it must all hang together, and no one Scripture should be divorced from the others. You can use the Bible to prove almost anything if you isolate verses from their proper context. Which is exactly the approach that false teachers take, okay? Peter stated that the witness of the apostles confirmed the witness of the prophetic word. There is one message with no contradiction. Therefore, the only way that false teachers can prove bad doctrines, in other words, is by misusing the word of God. The word of God was written to common people, not to theological professors. Did you hear that? Because we have people today that think, well, you don't have a degree in Greek or Hebrew, so you can't understand the Bible. The Bible was not written to theological professors. It was written to you and me. I don't need a degree. No, there's nothing wrong with going to school and getting a degree. You understand what I'm saying? But listen to this thought process here. The writers assume that common people could read it, understand it, and apply it, led by the same Holy Spirit who inspired it. That's the answer right there. You say, well, I'm saved. Then you've got the author of the book inside you. So who's the best teacher ever? The Holy Ghost, right? And he lives in you. So the same Spirit, so when you read a scripture and you go, well, our denomination, my parents, we never believed that like that before. Listen to the Holy Spirit in you. He's going to go, I wrote it. That's the way it is. And then you'll find other scriptures that line up with that. You say, why is this so important? Because listen, we're going to go into some teachings on different subjects from the Bible, and some people are going to go, huh? I didn't know that was in there. You know, there's a lot of things in here we don't know that are in here. Amen? And it won't be weird. It won't be, you know, some whacked out. We're not going to all drink Kool-Aid in the end, okay? We're not going to buy an island somewhere, you know, and all move out there. No, that's not, that. No. No. I don't believe in the gospel of isolation. Okay? But what we're going to do is we're going to begin to see things from the Word as we move forward. And I believe we're going to move into a series on faith, what faith is, so that we can really begin to expand our vision about what God can do with our lives. And as we do, there are going to be things that are going to challenge you. And you're going to have to sit down and decide, okay, I know what the preacher said, I know what my family said, but what does the Bible say? Amen? There is no authority in your life higher than the Word of God. I am not the main authority in your life. Now, I'm gifted to preach and teach and pastor. There's no question about that as far as God's gifting to me. And I can help you, but I am not your God. And anybody that tries to get you to go along with what they're doing and they want to make every decision in your life, that's wrong. That was the shepherding movement. Some people are like, huh? Well, if you look back, you'll find out. The shepherding movement was a group of pastors that figured they got together and they developed a doctrine that you couldn't even buy a car without asking your pastor. I don't want to know if you're going to buy a car or not. It may not be the car that I would pick, but I'm not going to have a thus saith the Lord, buy a Ford, make sure it's red. Some people are like, I ain't buying no Ford. Okay, don't buy a Ford. I mean, they were picking who was going to marry who. I'm not going to pick who your spouse is. Are you crazy? That's nuts, man. Get a kind of responsibility on somebody. I'll teach you how to hear from God and you pick them. Amen? That's what God has for you. So the foundation for who we are is found in the Word of God. It is inspired by God. It is light. It is help. It is breath. It is energy to you. Follow the path. If you're in a situation and it's a tough situation, go to the Word and find the answer. Amen? There's a story, and I'll end with this. There's a story about these ladies' generations. There was a grandma, a mom, and then her daughter. And every year they got together for a particular holiday, and every year they cooked roast. And every year they would buy this roast, and it was a good-sized roast, and they would cut the end off of the roast. Every year they cut the end off of the roast. Throw it away, and then cook the roast. And the daughter, the youngest in the group, said, why do we cut the end off this roast? And the one girl looked, and she looked at her mom, and her mom looked at her grandma and said, well, mom always did it. And they looked at grandma and said, why do we do that? She said, well, my mom always did it. They couldn't figure out why. Well, the reason why was, is because great-grandma had a shorter pan. Right? In other words, as we move forward in the Word and we look at the Word, we need to make sure, why are we doing this? Well, not just because great-grandma did it. We want to do it because the Bible says it. We want to go back to the Word and go, okay, this is the way I live. This is the way I do. Why? Because God said it that way. Not because my dad said it, not because my mom. I got respect. I'm not talking about disrespecting those that are older than us or over us in the Lord. I'm talking about having a respect for the word and for its authority in our lives. Amen? And so that's why we're going to do what we can do. And you take this principle and just apply it this week. Just apply it. Take it and do it. As you do, light will begin to open up in your life. You go, oh, okay, that's why I need to do that. Amen? You take it by faith.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.